A Stroke of Dumb Luck by Shiloh Walker. My sword arm is mighty, I will not falter, I will not fail. My sword arm is mighty, I will not falter, I will not fail. My ass is fucked. I knew it as sure as my own name was Kip, my ass is fucked, Colbina. There was no way I was getting out of this, and I knew it. I hadn't stood much of a chance anyways, but what in the hell was I supposed to do, just walk away? Actually, stop, I muttered. Yeah, walking away might have been the smart thing to do, but it wasn't really an option for me. I might not be a pureblood in area. I might be a mongrel, and I might be a sorry excuse for one of those fabled warrior women, but so what if most of them looked down their pretty noses at me? I didn't turn back on people who'd ask me for help. If I died for it, then I died for it. Mama would be so proud. The tunnel was dark. I hated the dark. Memories of things best forgotten tried to scramble up from the depths of my mind and sink nasty, grimy claws into me, but I pushed them aside. Couldn't think about that, not right now, not if I wanted to reach the rat leader's lair before sundown. Well, before sundown. I knew that was going to happen at sundown, and feared to try and wrap a sweaty, meaty fist around my throat. In a deliberate attempt to block it out, I summoned up one thing guaranteed to knock that fear into place. Anger. The memory of Colleen's terrified face was just enough to do it.
It's Mandy, Kit. She's with her boyfriend, and I couldn't talk her out of it. She wants him to change her. Buys in all the propaganda and thinks it will fix her.
Fix her? Ha! You can't fix a girl with leukemia by giving her a rat bite, or a wolf bite, or a cat bite. Most likely, the virus would either kill her or wouldn't affect her at all. Only 6% of the bitten actually caught the virus. Sex was a more likely way to catch it, and man, I hope she wasn't planning on getting laid. Not with them. Not with the rats. Hell, catching the virus would probably kill her sooner than leukemia. If Mandy had been with the wolves or the cats, I wouldn't worry so much. They were freaky enough, but they had a pretty strict set of rules they followed, and the girl wouldn't get hurt. Actually, the alphas probably would have her cute little butt escorted right back to Colleen's house, which is where a 15-year-old girl belonged at night. But the rats? Hell, the rat pack was a problem in Orlando. A very big problem. Drugs, theft, other unsavory things, but nothing that could be pinned on them. It was all just suspicion at this point. Most of us wanted them gone, but until they broke enough rules, the Assembly would ignore them. Which meant we didn't have the justification to exterminate the entire pack. Okay, personally, I thought there was plenty of justification. Only, I wasn't exactly the best choice for the job. If there were a true Inaria around, sure. But for now, we'd have to wait for the other shapeshifters to get tired of cleaning up the messes the rats made. Either that, or... A whisper of ice danced along my spine. I shivered and resisted the urge to glance around. I resisted the urge to see if I was being followed. I already killed 3 lesser rat scouts, and a man, oh man, did I hope I could get out of here before that was discovered. Technically, I had no legal reason for being down here, and no legal reason for killing them. Although if this ended up in front of the Assembly, I'd have a damn good argument. If I got out of this alive, and that entirely depended on whether I could make it to the air before the dead bodies were discovered. The rats like to rest up before the full moon, and they like to party hard with pharmaceutical help, so it was possible. Up ahead, I saw the faintest lessening of the gloom. Gripping my sword, I swallowed. Let them be sleeping, please. If they weren't sleeping, I was more than likely going to be dead in another couple minutes. I'm sorry, Colleen. I tried. The good news was, if I died, someone would finally be done with the rat pack. Too many people knew where I was going. I made damn sure of that, and if I disappeared, something happened to Mandy, well, the rats were screwed. I'd put in calls to the liaisons for the cat and wolf packs, as well as some others. My not-so-loving family, for one. They might not adore me, but they'd be madder than hell if I ended up a dead and nobody had responded to my request for assistance. I'd also put in calls to the others who had a voice in the Assembly. Basically, I'd spoken to just about anyone who'd be able to rain hell on the rats if I ended up dead. And the alphas of all the other packs, too, since by right they should have been here. Shifters were territorial bastards and always tried to handle their issues on their own. I damn well should have sent somebody. Hell, I'd even been counting on it. I'd been hoping one of them had had the decency to handle it. After all, a human teenager in the rat pack at night on the full moon was the very definition of not good. They should know this, but my calls had either been ignored or channeled over to voicemail. Why in the hell were the alphas and the witches and the vamps using voicemail? I reached the end of the tunnel and pressed my back against it. It was silent, save for the low, soft sounds of people breathing and the occasional snore. Man, was I lucky enough that they were all asleep? Only the alphas most trusted would be allowed in his lair, and Eddie didn't trust many. Didn't like too many, either. Ideally, he should have had some people on guard,
The skin between my shoulder blades itched, and this time I let myself look down the tunnel. Nothing. Gripping my sword, I eased just the barest bit into the layer, and it stunk of piss, blood, sex, and sweat. I wasn't part rat, and the smell was an assault on my senses. How could they stand it? Just inside the doorway, with his pack back pressed against the way, I saw one of the guards. He hadn't seen me yet. He wouldn't either. I wasn't full-blooded in area, but there was no denying I was at least part in area, one of a legendary race of skilled assassins. Why were they legendary? That mighty sword. That I will not falter, I will not fail mantra. And the fact that they could will themselves completely invisible for a short period of time, long enough to take my blade, an enchanted blade that had passed from mother to daughter for centuries, and push it into the rat shifter's heart. As I did, I covered his mouth with my hand and muffled his scream. If anybody woke, they'd see the struggle, the shifter's body arching up and a few drops of blood smoking, but they wouldn't see me. And yes, because that is my luck, somebody woke, although the guard died very fast. I heard the confused, "What the fuck?" just as I pulled my smoking blade from the dead man's chest. Shifters really weren't that easy to kill, not without silver and enchanted sword. Plus, his being stoned had helped. And it also helped that everyone else in the room was sleeping the sleep of equally stoned. I couldn't count on that luck holding, though. I pressed my back against the wall and eased my way around the room as somebody crawled out of the pile of bodies and made his way over to check on the fallen guard. He was tipsy, staggering back and forth, and as he passed by, I caught the pungent stink of torque coming off of him. Hell, no wonder none of them were stirring. They were all sleeping off the effects of partying with torque. It was a shifter-made drug designed to keep up with their metabolism. It was like ecstasy and heroin combined, with an overdose of them at that. When humans got their hands on it, it did bad, bad things. Hell, it did bad, bad things to shifters. They really couldn't afford to lose control, not them when they were so much stronger, so much faster than the humans. But the kind of people who liked to do drugs didn't care about that. The kind of people who would let a sick, scared 15-year-old into the lair of the Rat King weren't going to be all that concerned about the condition her mind was in. Hey, bro, Mott, you okay, man? I told you it was a bad idea to do that third one. The man snorted and giggled as he knelt down by the dead guard. Eddie is going to piss if he sees you sleeping. Come on, you don't want to spend the moon in the cage. Hey, Mott, wake up. Mott? I heard his voice break, kind of like a little boy's. Guilt clawed at me, but I ignored it. I didn't like killing, but a couple of dead rat shifters meant nothing compared to Mandy. My god, I suspected she would be dead if I didn't get her out of here. Leukemia had weakened her system so much that the virus would kill her. I knew it. Fuck you all for not having the decency to help one screwed-up kid, I thought. Thinking about the others I'd called, those I'd reached out to for help, rage started to burn away the fog of guilt and fear. They were so much better equipped to handle this, so much more prepared. They weren't something barely more than human with a knack for turning invisible. Fuck this and fuck them. I'd find Mandy and I'd get her out of here. No sooner that thought circled my mind than I saw the pale strawberry gold of her hair streaked through with bright cotton candy pink. She was snuggled up against the pale skinny chest of some guy with scraggly goatee and hair that needed to be washed. Even from here I could smell the drugs in her. That would be Lothario then. Man, I ought to kill the bastard too. I reached up and touched my bow. There was enough light in here. I could well see well enough to use my bow, and the arrows were silver-tipped, hollow-pointed. A family design, you could say, filled with something that would kill the weaker shifters and slow the stronger ones for days. Silver nitrate. Should I? Could I? In the back of my head, I heard a mocking, chiding voice. You're such a poor, sad excuse for Nenaria. Why were you sent to us? In the days of old, one as weak as you would have been strangled with your own cord. That was the voice of my Aunt Helene. My mother's sister. She would have stood there and killed every last one of the shifters, and hell, Mandy too, a kindness. She's already dying, it would end her suffering. I swallowed the vial churning up from the back of my throat and moved to stand closer to Mandy, thanking whatever weird quirk of fate had her and her boyfriend lying off to the side instead of in the strange doggy pile that most of the others were in. Now, how in the hell did I get her up and out of here? That was when the drugged-up shifter finally figured out his sleeping buddy wasn't sleeping. He started to wail, and that was all it took. In the moments it took for the other shifters to wake, the first one's grief bled over to fury, and he started to shift. Fuck. I backed away and sheathed my sword. Okay, so maybe I couldn't shoot a bunch of sleeping shifters, but if I had to, I could shoot them while they were awake. My heart knocked against the wall of my chest, and I could see several pairs of beady eyes swinging my way. Calm down. I'm in an area. My blood is noble, my heart is strong, my aim is true, I am in an area. 5 seconds into the stupid little mantra and my heart rate leveled out. But I couldn't count on them not noticing me if I stayed on the other side of the room. They'd pick out on a strange single heartbeat. And again, I didn't want to get any closer, because my bow and arrows weren't as useful at close range, and we were already too close. Once more, a whisper of cold wrapped around me, all around me, it seemed, pressing tight, almost a physical touch. It was enough to make my heart slam once more into my ribs. I'm in an area, my blood is noble, my heart is strong, my aim is true, I'm in an area. The cold, vice-like pressure eased just a bit. Holy fuck, what was this? I felt the pressure against my mind. Little warrior, it's a fucking voice in my head. My total and utter shock, I almost screwed up completely, almost let go of the magic that made me invisible. The very last second, right as my hands and feet were wavering into focus, I snapped myself together. Shit! Be at ease, little warrior. I mean you no harm. But do you want to live or not? That wasn't a hard question. Living in good was pretty general. Then stop panicking. For the love of all that's holy, do not get any closer to the rats and stay here. Then, just that easy, the cool touch was gone, and so was the voice in my head. Stop panicking, that was good advice. Not getting close to the rats, that sounded pretty good too, but staying here? No, especially not when they were too slinking close. Too close, their bodies a strange mix of human and rat. I drew my bow, notched an arrow, aimed, and released. The first one was barely on the ground convulsing before I did the same to the second rat, and I moved. All hell broke loose about the same time. None of the rats were sleeping now. Those who hadn't changed from the process, all save for the Rat King. Adiavilla was standing in the middle of the lair, his arms hanging loose at his sides and an icy look of rage on his narrow, handsome face. I knew Eddie. We both hated each other's guts. If he suspected I was here, he wouldn't hesitate to kill Mandy. I had to do something before that happened. Planning, not my strong suit. I'd been taught sword fighting hand-to-hand, and though I was nothing compared to the real Inaria, I could fight. I just couldn't form a plan of attack. They'd kick me out before I'd gotten around to that part of my training. Please don't let Mandy pay for my screw-ups. That's all I wanted right then. If I died, fine, but not the kid. Her life had already been hard enough. To focus their attention away from the girl, I started taking down rats at random. Between the fourth and fifth, I felt the cold wrap around me again. What part of stay did you not understand? I didn't know how to answer. I thought, if I just thought, would he hear me? Yes. I had the strangest sense that the voice sighed. I didn't hear it, but I felt it. Be grateful none of them can read minds, little warrior. Otherwise, you would have died in the tunnel. Great, a mind reader. I sighted on another shifter and aimed. Before I could loose the arrow, the cold tightened, wrapping around me until I couldn't have moved to save my life or Mandy's. Stop killing them. You've already taken out 10 of his men. I'm going to have my hands full keeping a villa from killing you after that. There's a girl here, a human. If you don't know a damn thing about a villa, you know how it will happen to her when the sun sets tonight. It's full moon. I know. I received your message. And you would have just waited a few hours. Received my message? Who the hell? Before I could finish that question, Eddie bellowed out, Enough! The power of his voice, the command, was enough to have the bravery. Every last one of his people cowering. They were bound to him, by blood, by oath. The madness and the fear I saw in his eyes might have been enough to make me cower had I not been so worried about Mandy. He started to prowl the lair, his eyes paused here and there to linger on the bodies of the dead. That was when I realized the arrows were visible, and he recognized them too. Eddie grabbed one and ripped it out of the chest of the dying man. The man screamed, but it was lost in the sound of Eddie's roar. You fucking cunt, where are you? A cold trickle of sweat rolled down my back. What the hell did I do now? The temperature in the lair bottomed out. The rats didn't notice, but I sure as hell did. Trying not to let my teeth chatter, I found myself staring, hypnotized, in the space right in front of Eddie. A space that had been empty just a few seconds ago, but wasn't now. Now it was filled with plumes of smoke. No, not smoke, it was mist. Mist that was rapidly becoming man-shaped. Shaped that looked terribly, terribly familiar. A trickle of sweat rolling down my spine might as well have been a flood. If it was who I thought it was, I was so terribly fucked. Jude. I had met him before, and there was no mistaking him. He wore his pale blonde hair pulled back into a short tail at the nape of his neck. His body was deceptively lean, and power hung around him like a cloak. Vampire Master didn't like to be pulled into the politics of petty lesser creatures, and compared to them, all creatures were petty and lesser, at least in the eyes of vampires. Yeah, I'd put in a call to him. but it had been in last-ditch desperation sort of thing. Of course, I was desperate. "Hello, Eddie," Jude said, his voice polite, friendly. Eddie, who'd been holding one of my arrows in his fist, stared at Jude. Even from where I was standing, I could see how pissed he was. His eyes, normally brown, had gone black and beady, rat's eyes. But when he spoke to Jude, his voice was almost polite and cool as Jude's. "Jude, wasn't expecting you." Jude cocked his blonde brow. "I've got to say, that surprises me. You should have been expecting me, or the elves from the shifter packs at the very least. You have a guest here who shouldn't be here. Not today, of all days." If I were Eddie, I would have been shaking at my boots. But Eddie didn't look worried, didn't even look disturbed. But he gave Jude a toothy smile and said, "The girl came here of her own free will. She wants the bite, and who am I to say no?" "She told you she wanted the bite." "The bite? The fuck? We gave her that and more." Fear erupted through me. Too late, I realized. That was what Eddie had been hoping for. But I didn't think about it until I dropped my invisibility. "You child-raping son of a bitch," I snarled as I shimmered into view. Eddie smiled in hot, feral satisfaction, but it only lasted a split second. The arrow I'd loosed right before I let myself have been seen was buried in his crotch. Rats lunged for me, and I braced myself for the impact. 2 seconds later, hard arms came around me, and I was airborne. "You little fool. He hasn't touched you. He just said that to anger you." "Well, it worked," I snarled, struggling to free my hands. "Be still," Jude said. "I need my hands," I said. The rats were boiling too close to Mandy, and she was still sleeping in her drug dazed. Shit, what had she used? Eddie was screaming, all but howling down below us. I glanced up and saw that Jude had somehow found a perch of sorts. He was gripping something that jutted from the ceiling. An iron pipe? I couldn't tell. He didn't seem to be all that concerned with my weight or the fact that we were dangling 20 feet above the were-rats. The rat foaming at the mouth now. After tearing the arrow out of his crotch, Eddie dropped to the ground and curled into a ball. I have to say, the sight pleased me a lot. "I'm going to gut you, you little cunt! I'm going to gut you for this!" he panted, glaring at me. I bared my teeth at him. "You've been saying that for years, sugar. Hasn't happened yet." Jude murmured. "Well, precious, unless you've put an arrow in his crotch before, he probably has new resolve. Now help me out here and be quiet." I felt the press of his mind again. Although it felt alien as hell when he pushed inside my head, I let him. "How old is the girl?" 15. She's 15 years old and she has leukemia. Her boyfriend knows it too, because her mother made damn sure to tell him. 15? Suddenly it was a whole lot colder in here, and we were on the floor. I don't even remember how it happened. We were on the floor and the guy had been laying by Mandy was suddenly flying through the air. I heard a sickening thud as his head struck the concrete wall. As he slid down, I caught sight of blood and other wet things, but I didn't look too closely. If his brain hadn't been completely scrambled, he'd live, but if Jude decided to go after him, he might not want to. I wasn't going to worry about the shifter, though. I was too busy worrying about the vampire in front of me. Suddenly, I was wishing fervently I hadn't called Jude. The pale, pale skin of his was glowing. So were his eyes. I don't know what color his eyes normally were, but right now they glowed as red as hellfire and they were focused on Eddie. It seemed Eddie had suddenly realized he had a much, much bigger problem than the arrow I'd put in his crotch. He'd survived the poison. He might not survive Jude. "That girl," Jude said, his voice a low, silken draw. "How old is she?" Eddie jerked a shoulder and a shrug. "What the fuck do I care? When my rats wants to bring someone to the party, they can. Pussy's pussy, right?" Jude bent down and grabbed Eddie by the throat. Eddie tore at his hands and snarled. As Jude lifted him, he started to shift. Jude grabbed Eddie's crotch. Still using that same silken voice, he warned, "If you go rat on me, I rip it off. And if that happens while you're in human form, we know it won't grow back, boy. So how hurt are you? Can you shift fast enough?" Eddie paled. The black fur that had been creeping over his flesh started to recede. "Look, you got a problem with the girl being here, just take her. Take the girl and take the cunt and go." I stroked a hand down my bow. I was getting tired of calling me a cunt, but at that moment I was too scared of Jude to say anything. I watched as Jude's hand tightened around Eddie's throat, tighter and tighter until his fingers actually penetrated the skin and Eddie's blood flowed in red rivulets. "She's 15, Eddie. 15 and she has a disease." From where I stood I could see both Jude's face and Eddie's. I watched as Jude closed his eyes, watched as he breathed deep. When he opened his eyes, they were still glowing, but there was a sadness under the anger. you bothered to look just once, you'd know, would have known she was ill. If I can smell it in this vile pit you call lair, you would have smelled it as well. Eddie gurgled out something, but the words were garbled, unintelligible. Disgusted, Jude dropped him to the ground. Thanks to the poison I'd pumped into him with my arrow, he was slow to heal, taking almost 5 minutes before he could speak. When he did speak, his voice was rasping and harsh, and as he said, "She's sick, it doesn't matter to me. If she wants the bite, she wants the bite." "Her being 15 does matter, though." Jude glanced at me and then at the girl who still slept. "Think I'm going to do the rest of us a favor and just challenge you? You've broken too many laws and it's time you were dealt with."
Yes! Were we finally going to be done with this piece of shit?
The color leached out of Eddie's face, but then he narrowed his eyes and looked at me. "Fine, but as the cunt killed 10 of my men without provocation, she's got to face me first. Her offense is more grievous than mine." Well, fuck. I didn't let the bastard see the fear curling through me. I put my bow away and drew my sword. The red blade glinted in the dim light as I lazily spun it in the air. "Come on, rat boy. Forget the challenge. We can dance here." "Oh, no, cunt. I want this done right and proper. When you're on your hands and knees begging for your life, I might let you have it. After I've made you my little cunt," Eddie sneered. I barely saw Jude move. Then Eddie was peeling himself off the floor, staggering a bit. "We'll renegotiate the terms." Jude's tone was bored, but his eyes were icy. He stared at me, all but daring me to say anything. Oh, I wouldn't dare. He scared the shit out of me. Eddie, despite the blood pouring from the gash in his temple, smiled. "I'm not surprised, Jude. What are your new times?" The amount of blood a shifter's throat could put out was amazing. It painted a red arc across the dingy room. I was still gaping as Eddie's body toppled to the side. His head was attached, barely, but his eyes, they were lifeless. "You die now," Jude's voice rang throughout the room, with resounding finality. Blood splattered his face, but it didn't seem to notice. "It seems easier, I think." Shit. Holy shit. "I never did care for his attitude," he murmured. The sound of his voice, I tore my eyes away from the dead Rat King and stared at the vampire. He reached into his pocket and threw a snowy white handkerchief and then wiped the blood from his face. Okay, so he had noticed the blood. I heard something snarling, hissing, from somewhere near my feet. "Move over beside me, if you please," Juice said. His voice still calm and level, like we were talking about something trivial at afternoon tea. Staring at the center of his chest, I moved toward him. I could feel the hot, panting breaths of angry rats at my back. Big angry rats. The moment I was next to him, he shoved me behind him and started backing toward Mandy. "You're a lot of trouble, do you know that, little warrior?" "I have a name," I muttered. "Do you?" I curled my lip at him. Hell, we'd met 4 different times. It had been mandatory that we meet at least once. Since I was an entirely human, I'd been forced to announce myself to the other non-mortals when I moved to Orlando. As the oldest being in the city, and certainly one of the most powerful, Jude was one of the unofficial people in charge. Yeah, we'd met. And yes, he'd been told my name. I just wasn't important enough for him to remember, I guess. And it was easier to think about that sort of thing than the fact that we both had about 9 shifters heading right for us. He could handle them. Mandy and I couldn't. "So, little warrior, what is your name?" I frowned at his broad back. "It's Kit." "Can you lift a girl, Kit?" I could. As I crouched down, I caught sight of a furry tide of death rolling closer and closer. Black, angry eyes stared at me. They all wanted me dead. "Yes, they do. But that's too bloody bad for them," Jude murmured. "Get the girl now, Kit." His voice, so calm and cool, did something to ease my fears somehow. And I managed to brace Mandy's body with mine and stand, staggering. I'm stronger than humans, but not by much. I wouldn't be able to hold her and run. "You don't need her. Just give her to me and then be ready." I wasn't ready. Nowhere near. But it didn't matter. Seconds later, both Mandy and I were airborne. Even while he was flying with us through the tunnel, somehow cradling Mandy's body in my arm with me perched on his back, I still wasn't ready. The rats were chasing us, but they couldn't keep up with the flying vampire. "I cannot take you all the way home. I can travel in the light only in mist form, and I cannot fly you. But you have a car. I'll make sure you're not followed." When he landed, I was hard-pressed not to kiss the ground, nasty sewer and all. I glanced at the ladder leading out and then at Mandy. Hauling her up would be fun. Behind us, I heard snarling and hissing, rats already gaining on us. Thanks to the wonders of adrenaline, I got Mandy in a modified fireman's hold and managed to get her up the ladder. It wasn't until I saw the brilliant orange glow of the setting sun that I realized I was going to live through this. So was Mandy. "Of course you'll live through it." "Damn it," I snapped, glancing down at him.
Would you stop that already? It's damned unnerving being around someone who could so easily peer inside your mind. He chuckled and then shot me an unreadable look. We'll meet again, little warrior. Then launched himself out of my line of sight, no doubt towards the oncoming furry tide. As screams of pain filled the air, I half-carried, half-dragged Mandy to my car. Somehow I'd lived through it. Stroke of dumb luck, but I was alive. Mandy was alive. Thank God. And then I glanced at the great gaping pit in the ground. Thank you, Jude. The end.